It's Focus West Michigan for Wednesday, October 29, 2025. I'm Rick Bierling. In local news, a new West Michigan fund to support families facing food insecurity due to the federal government shutdown has been launched. WGVU's Dee Morrison has the details.
They're starting to visit pantries already looking for food to be prepared. And so that's driving up just the need for additional food at the pantries.
Becky Postma is the chief impact officer at Heart of West Michigan United Way, which is launching the United Response Fund, helping local families access food and basic needs ahead of the potential delay in federal SNAP benefits November 1st.
Over 100,000 people impacted by this in just our West Michigan market. Across the state, over 492,000 children, 38,000 veterans.
Postma says more than 1 in 9 Michiganders rely on the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program to put food on the table. Without it, local pantries and meal programs will face overwhelming demand. The United Response Fund will provide emergency funding to food suppliers in Allegan, Kent, and Ottawa counties. The agencies will accept food donations, but prefer financial contributions.
They can make money go a lot further because they can buy in bulk. And so what you and I would go to the store and buy can be bought cheaper if they are given the money to do that.
Postma says United Way acts as the point of contact for donations. With established systems, it can distribute the money quickly to West Michigan food suppliers. I'm Dee Morrison.
And with the loss of the federal SNAP benefits, the Holland Farmers Market is hosting a food drive, partnering with Community Action House's Food Club, a grocery store serving low-income families. The drive runs Wednesdays and Saturdays, November 1st through the 22nd. Customers can also donate gift cards that can be used at the market. The Grand Rapids Teachers Union has signed 4 tentative contract agreements with Grand Rapids Public Schools. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the latest on bargaining negotiations.
With the help of a state-appointed mediator, the Grand Rapids Education Association, which represents district teachers, and Grand Rapids Public Schools reached agreements on teacher placement, payroll dues deduction, a sick time bank, and a professional development committee. The 2025-26 school year calendar was also agreed upon. On Facebook, the union wrote, quote, "Thank you to students, parents, community partners, legislators, and GREA members for standing together. However, the district is refusing to budge on a competitive salary, despite the state legislature prioritizing education in their budget," end quote. The union says better pay for teachers leads to talent retention. In a statement, GRPS said, quote, "In September, GRPS also proposed an increased salary proposal. GRPS is considering a proposal that the mediator presented to both parties in an attempt to resolve all outstanding issues," end quote. This was the third mediation session between the two entities since September 23rd. The two groups are expected to meet again on November 10th at the district's next Board of Education meeting. I'm David Limbaugh.
Their slogan is "Every dog deserves a treat," and during their Good Deed, Good Dog campaign, Beer City Dog Biscuits in Grand Rapids wants to donate 1 million treats to West Michigan animal shelters and food pantries. As WGVU's Phil Dawson reports, all the dog biscuits are baked by their staff of disabled brew bakers.
There's really nothing like us around.
Beer City Dog Biscuit co-founder Leslie Hooker says the nonprofit was started to provide training and jobs for her son and other intellectually and developmentally disabled individuals.
There's a real shortage right now of vocational training sites.
Their staff of what are called brew bakers measure, mix, bake, and package the dog biscuits. Lauren and Melanie are on the team.
It gives me a place to work. I really like working with other people.
It's fun here because people like to say hi to me when they come into the door.
The beer connection comes from Founders Brewery. After it's used to make beer, Dave Engber says they donate their spent grain to mix into the biscuits.
Our team's responsible for making beer and how much pride we have. You see the exact same pride in those brew bakers creating these dog biscuits.
During the Good Deed, Good Dog campaign, the bakery's offering 12 bag trays of biscuits for $50. And after every sale, they'll donate a matching tray to a shelter, rescue, or food bank.
100% of the proceeds do go right back into our mission.
I'm Phil Dawson.
And Ottawa County Community Action Agency is at risk of losing federal funding. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us how the proposed cut is pushing commissioners to act.
District 1 Commissioner Jim Berry introduced a resolution at Tuesday's board meeting requesting state senators and representatives, as well as President Donald Trump and House Speaker Mike Johnson, restore funding for the Community Services Block Grants and the Low-Income Home Energy Assistance Program.
Given increases in housing and food costs, the loss of federal CSBG and LAHEAP funds likely will threaten the physical shelter, safety, and food security of more than 5,000 Ottawa County residents.
Program Director Jennifer Brzozowski explained that CSBG funding is the foundational grant for Ottawa County Community Action Agency, providing over $500,000 for food insecurity, energy, and weatherization assistance programs.
There are grave concerns across the Community Action Network that if this grant goes away, that community action pieces of it may go away. And I will say for our agency specifically, we would not be able to continue without it.
Federal funding for those two grants was zeroed out in President Trump's budget proposal. Congress has not voted on the budget bill, leading to the current government shutdown. The Ottawa County Board voted to send a letter to the president and congressional leadership requesting funding restoration. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up, WGVU's Patrick Center speaks with Crane's Grand Rapids business staff writer, Mark Sanchez. In state news, planned bills in the Michigan House could allow food assistance payments to continue in the state despite the federal government shutdown. Colin Jackson has more.
Democrats say the bills will put over $600 million toward keeping payments under the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program running next month. The U.S. Department of Agriculture told states to pause them starting in November. Democratic State Representative Betsy Kofia says the state can afford to pick up the tab for a little bit.
There's $2 billion in the rainy day fund. I don't know what kind of rainy day you've seen, but if people can't eat, that's a pretty damn rainy day.
The Democratic lawmakers are also calling on the USDA to use emergency funds to keep SNAP going without Michigan needing to step in. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
An anti-abortion group has filed notice with a federal appeals court that it plans to fight for the right to challenge parts of an amendment to the Michigan Constitution. We have more from Rick Pluta.
A federal judge in Grand Rapids ruled Right to Life of Michigan lacks standing to challenge the state's voter-approved reproductive rights amendment. Genevieve Marnin with Right to Life of Michigan says the Sixth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals should reverse that.
So we've never even gotten to the merits of whether or not Proposal 3 violates the federal constitution at all. This is just who has the right to bring a lawsuit.
She says Right to Life was behind a 1993 petition initiative, now superseded by the amendment, to require parental consent for most minors seeking abortions. Attorney General Dana Nessel's spokesperson says she is confident the appeals court will uphold the dismissal. I'm Rick Pluta.
And right now, Michigan's Medicaid program covers GLP-1 drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy for a wide range of uses. But next year, coverage of the weight loss and diabetes drugs is set to be limited. Medicaid will only cover the drug costs for people who are considered morbidly obese and have tried other weight loss methods. The new requirements are planned to take effect January 1st. That's according to the state health department, which is under instruction to find cost savings in the new state budget. The number of Michigan Medicaid beneficiaries who receive GLP-1 drugs has surged in recent years. And that is state and West Michigan news here on Focus West Michigan from WGVU. This is Focus West Michigan. I'm Rick Bierling. WGVU's Patrick Center now talks with Crane's Grand Rapids business staff writer Mark Sanchez about the West Michigan Whitecaps completing its ballpark renovation, Blue Cross and Corewell Health rewarding better care. But first, a concept for pooling small business workforces, creating lower-cost health plans.
Yeah, these things that we're talking about are association health plans. Now, let's set this up. As I always like to begin these conversations with people, show of hands of everybody that just absolutely loves the status quo of the American healthcare system. Okay, I don't see any hands out there. Yeah, I know it's radio. You know, healthcare costs have just been rising and rising and rising for many years. In the last few years, they're just really going out of sight. If you're a small employer of 50 people or less awaiting state regulators to act on the rate proposals for 2026 for January 1 policy renewals, and if you're in the small group of 50 and under, you're looking at an average 11.1% increase in your premiums for 2026. That's the statewide average. Some are bigger, some are lower. I've heard cases where people are 25, 30% or more in their insurance renewals. And for the individual market, without these tax credits that we've been reading a lot about the last couple of weeks, you're looking at about a 16.8% increase. So the idea was pitched last week by the Michigan Association of Health Plans. This represents 10 health plans of the state, mostly HMOs, that cover about 4.1 million people. So they have a little bit of market heft to them. Pitched an idea. It has a concept paper out with a dozen ideas dealing with the affordability of healthcare. These are not things that are going to provide immediate relief, but we didn't get into this situation overnight, so it's going to take time to maybe get some fixes. And one of the ideas the MAHP pitched was association health plans, maybe some state legislation to make it easier for groups to form an association health plans. Now, what is this? This is where employers come together, mostly small businesses, and they pool their workforces. That creates a much larger risk pool for insurance. If you have maybe a dozen companies coming together, they get maybe 300-400 employees all together into a risk pool. They then qualify for the large group. That's important because under the large group, under the federal law, the large group employers do not have to meet the coverage mandates under the Affordable Care Act. What that allows them to do is craft a benefit package and craft a health plan that perhaps is a little more affordable and customized exactly to their workforce. So the association health plans are allowed under federal law, mostly to common economic sectors such as manufacturing or geography. In 2018, under President Trump's first term, there was a rule issued that broadened the eligibility. That was challenged and struck down by the courts that said it went a little too far under the federal law known as ERISA. So now here we are in 2025. There's a wide expectation that the Trump administration is going to issue a new rule, again, extending eligibility requirements and making it easier for groups to come together, for small businesses to unite to form an association health plan. So what the Michigan Association of Health Plans is doing is putting this issue out there in front of the state lawmakers. And they pitched this idea talking last week to a state Senate committee on the enhanced tax credits for individual policies. But the executive director, Dominic Pallone, took the opportunity to offer a few other ideas. And what the association is saying, if indeed this rule comes down in the next year or so from the feds, the association would like to see the state legislature codify that rule into state law and open up greater flexibility for small employers to unite with one another to form these association health plans to lower costs. The association health plans also suggested an idea of perhaps the state forming an association health plan, a state-run plan that small businesses could join. So right now, these are just concepts. But it's a situation where, again, I'll go back to the issue of anybody out there really want to maintain the status quo of healthcare in America? So what you're seeing, people just saying, this is it. We're at the end. Businesses, and I don't know how employers, especially small businesses, continue to do this. They're getting hit with these big increases every single year now. There's not a lot of hope for it mitigating anytime in the near future, as you know, your health insurers and your hospitals and health systems are talking about these expensive specialty drugs, higher utilization rates, higher acuity, meaning people are sicker when they're coming in. We have an aging population that requires more care, and the boomers are getting a lot of hip and knee replacements. So we're seeing all these factors gang up to drive these costs. Again, 11.1% next year for small group in Michigan. The drawback is association health plans don't really get to the root cause of what's pushing up these healthcare costs at such an alarming rate. But it is an option for small employers to consider in coming together and perhaps getting coverage for their employees at a little bit of a lower cost.
At all levels, the impacts are being felt, and you're seeing Blue Cross making a deal with Corewell to reward better care and lower costs.
This is a contract Blue Cross Blue Shield signed with Corewell Health here in Grand Rapids. This term value-based care, you're going to start hearing this more and more. You've been hearing it for a decade plus now. But what exactly is value-based care? Historically, traditionally, healthcare has gone by what's known as a fee-for-service model. You bring in X patient, you do X procedure, the insurance company pays you X amount. There's some thinking that that really breeds maybe an excess of care, too many procedures, too many medical imaging scans. So there's been this effort for a long time now, for many years, to shift to value-based contracting between your health insurers and your doctors and hospitals and health systems. In Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan and Corewell Health, which are the two biggest in Michigan for health insurance and healthcare, they signed a new contract this summer for value-based care that's going to run through 2030, and it could really serve as a template for the state's largest insurer to craft similar arrangements with other health systems in the state. Now, what does that mean, however? There's not been a whole lot of definition put around value-based care because this is something that's hard to do. But what Corewell Health and Blue Cross are now trying to do is they put out specific targets, and they won't specifically talk about actually those targets they're hoping to achieve, but there are some issues specifically to improve the care, such as if you go into a hospital, you have surgery, you have a complication, you get an infection, you get readmitted to the hospital. There's an effort under this contract to really reduce that because those hospital readmissions are costly, about $11,000 to $12,000 per situation, and there's about a 5% readmission rate. You have folks who slip and fall in hospitals. The patients, they may have limited mobility. For whatever reason, they fall, they break a hip, or they suffer a fracture. That's added cost, added time in the hospital. Those are just a couple of areas, that proverbial low-hanging fruit that Blue Cross Blue Shield and Corewell Health are going to try to really address and reduce those rates. And the basic premise of value-based care is that those who perform the best, high quality, reduced complications, reduced incidents, they get higher reimbursements. They get higher payments. So it's a whole different model for the health insurance and healthcare in America. It's been around a while, but it's been very slow moving in Blue Cross Blue Shield and Corewell Health through this new contract that runs through the end of the decade and into 2030. They're hoping to make some real progress in this area and create not only a better care model, but a better cost model for healthcare.
We're talking with Crane's Grand Rapids business staff writer Mark Sanchez. The West Michigan Whitecaps won their seventh Midwest League championship this year, and it comes at a time when the organization is renovating its ballpark, and some of that renovation has stalled. What's the latest?
Yeah, well, if you've been up to LMCU ballpark in the last season or two, and congratulations to the Whitecaps on their championship this year, you've seen these stadium renovations, new terraces, new hospitality suites, a whole lot of improvements for the franchise to position the franchise for the next 30 years. This has taken a lot of money. There's a $35 million cost to it. The Whitecaps have been, for the last year or so, doing a capital raise, finding investors, because this is how the franchise was first formed 30 plus years ago. Instead of public money to build the stadium, they went and found private capital investors. Now the Whitecaps are back in the market looking for investors to do this next generation renovations, and many have been complete. They've had success on the field and off the field this year. They won the Midwest League Championship here last month. And then a couple of weeks later, Minor League Baseball, the umbrella organization for about 120 franchises across the U.S., named the Whitecaps Minor League Organization of the Year. Underneath all that is continuing this capital campaign to raise money from investors to pay for these ballpark renovations. The Whitecaps recently retained an investment bank for the last year or so. As it's done this campaign, it's been going to individual investors. Now it's pivoting a little bit. Want to start looking at more institutional investors to invest in the team. And this is something you're seeing really pick up in the U.S. the last few years, is private equity becoming more involved in sports. Your major sports leagues, NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball, NBA, are allowing private equity investors to take equity stakes in the team. A few weeks ago, we saw the story come out about the Big Ten Conference in college football, perhaps selling some of their broadcast rights to private equity investors. So there is a significant movement of private equity becoming involved in sports at the high levels and the minor league levels. It's a significant movement in the sports world. Given the success of the season, both on and off the field, the Whitecaps are looking that success can breed success in the capital campaign, which again has now pivoted a little bit in going after the institutional investors to help pay for these upgrades to LMCU ballpark.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Patrick.
And that's WGVU's News and Public Affairs Director, Patrick Center, with Crane's Grand Rapids business staff writer, Mark Sanchez. I'm Rick Bierling, and that is all for Focus West Michigan Today, Wednesday, October 29, 2025. Please like, subscribe, and follow, and we will see you tomorrow.